to get rid of aches and pains is it's not good for you. It takes so many different things out of your body that you don't understand,
and it is horrible on your kidneys and your liver.
And I know you just don't stay in here, but I'm just saying that we're not looking.
We're not looking
in the greener pasture as you would.
No, but I just didn't see cannabis as a performance enhancing by any means. But ultimately, it's a set of rules that are in place.
Right.
She broke the rules. There will be repercussions.
And she's not complaining about it either.
Right.
But she's not changing what she does. Either.
As much as what we're going through right now, that we're still hearing about repercussions for NCAA infractions that are legal now. With NIL.
Right, you're going to punish a school for something they did 5 years ago that's not.
But the rules were in place then, therefore
we. I don't like that part either. Uncle A's on a roll today. No, he said there.
What's that?
Invest in Kimmon Industries.
Shh. Slow down. Let's get on the front side of that way first there, Uncle A.
That's funny. Well, we think Randy Wayhofer's coming in. I hope he is, because do I have some baseball questions.
We just went through segment three.
We do. Boom, boom.
Welcome to Cannabis Hour with Gary and Scott.
For once in my life, you brought something up that surprised me. There you go. I love it.
Really enjoy it.
You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I will be back, hopefully, with Randy Wayhofer. We think so. And we've got baseball to talk about. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 7. It's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. It's getting to that rush hour time. We need to get you home safe, so keep your eyes on the road. I'm assuming. Randy, you just came in. I'm assuming it's always busy. Was it traffic? Well, you kind of bypass the interstate, so don't you?
A little? No, I came to 235.
Not bad?
No. Getting off onto 8035 as everything bottlenecks there with Hickman. Once you get past Hickman, it's
smooth sailing there. So there's your updated traffic report from Randy Wayhofer. Kind of nice. You are listening to Steen on Sports. No, we're not. That's the second time I've done that today.
Sorry, it's all about you. It's always about you, Steen.
It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour _SS, at Scott Brower _13, and at Randy Wayhofer. Randy Wayhofer is the vice president and assistant general manager for the Iowa Cubs. Welcome in, as always, on our Wednesday. We look forward to this every Wednesday. You got the read for this hour.
Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the client and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, there's over 500 jobs that are open on the website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking. Both keep the staff and the candidates very happy. Check out the website and find out what the Palmer Group can do for you.
I got emails from Palmer Group and a phone call.
What'd they say?
You're old? No. They're like, hey, we have some things you might be interested in. Oh, man, you know how old I am. I don't know if I'm interested in
it. Oh, you mean from a job standpoint?
Yes.
Wow.
Very interesting. I'm like, no.
How do you feel about greeting people? Yes, I said it.
Yes, thank you. Wow.
Can I see your receipt, please?
Yes, that is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I did that. Whew. I did that.
And here I was going to be nice to you. Wow.
Yeah. So, beautiful day at Principal Park, Randy.
About as good as it gets, I think.
Excellent. Yeah,
if it can be better, it'll be tomorrow.
That's what I hear. I mean, anytime, we just said that. We were off air. We're going, anytime you get anything in April, you're going, it's awesome.
A rumor of 70 tomorrow, from what I heard. Getting close to that. 12:08 start, correct?
Correct. Today was perfect in the sun and a little cool in the shade. I think with another 5 to 8 degrees, it'll be just perfect everywhere. And the expectation of Kyle Hendricks making a rehab start with us tomorrow is also part of the fun, in addition to a beautiful Thursday afternoon.
Well, how long has he been out? I'm sorry.
since last July. Yeah. The shoulder injury went on the DL last July.
I just his default public service announcement when it comes to someone like Kyle Hendricks, get there early, correct?
Especially for a pitcher, because Kyle's probably going to get maybe 50 pitches tomorrow, because this will be his first live game action, and he's thrown simulated games and bullpen sessions and things down in Arizona. So he'll be on a limited pitch count. So if you want to see Kyle pitch, get there before, you know, the game starts and see him in the first inning, because he'll be on a limited pitch count tomorrow, and then they'll have a whole line of guys ready to back him up.
What a great thing for the Cubs to get a good start for their year. I mean, they're playing pretty well. Kind of fun. Defensively, they're playing lights out.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's and getting him back, that's a huge deal for them. So, that's interesting. So, a great day, great game. Little comeback.
Yeah.
Little comeback win. You got to like those.
Yeah, it's offense started a little slow today. I think we only had a couple of hits through the first four innings and no runs. We were down 4-0, and then – Once that snowball starts rolling down the hill with this offense, it's tough to stop. And the floodgates opened up a little bit, and it was 4-4 and then 5-4. And then you looked up, and we had a bases clearing extra base hit with the bases loaded, and it was 8-4. And that was felt like that was probably enough. And then we got one more for good measure.
There you go. Estimated crowd today?
We were just short of 4,000 paid, and it was pretty good. We have school groups, and there'll be some school groups tomorrow.
Nice.
It's even though the weather is terrific, you don't plan that far ahead for it. So it's not like it's a magic switch to flip to take an April afternoon and turn it into a sellout. But what today was compared to what it would have been had it been 45 degrees and drizzly is certainly a huge benefit.
We kind of had that. We went Monday to Wakanda. I keep saying Wakanda. To do the media day kind of, and the morning
charity classic,
morning session. I don't think anybody went out in the morning session. It was pretty cold.
It was pretty
miserable. And our afternoon session was amazing.
Yeah,
I mean it was a ton of fun.
I had no idea there were that many hills in the middle of Des Moines, but good lord, a
couple of young Des Moines Register kids made us feel real good.
Yeah.
I mean it was fun. So, so you have coming up. This is tomorrow night, Thursday night, Mug Club. That's still my thing. We gotta join the Mug Club. We got to go on a Thursday.
Big Grove is the Mug Club
sponsor. Yeah,
that's the key.
And you keep going. I think you get a free beer in there somewhere.
First time you buy your mug.
The first fill every Thursday in your mug is free when you join the Mug Club.
They're just giving you.
Did I hear that?
Yes.
On radio. It's live. He's not kidding us. It's live.
They're just giving you beer.
I love it.
That's amazing.
And then it's Fairway. If you have a Fairway receipt, it's 2-for-1 to get in.
Yeah. Reserve, grandstand, or general admission, whichever you prefer. Buy one, get one free. Yeah,
man, what a great thing that is. Friday night, fireworks. Everybody loves that. And Iowa Oaks.
Yeah, so we're unveiling the new powder blue Iowa Oaks jerseys that we'll be giving away replica ones later in the season as a giveaway sponsored by Musco. So you can get a sneak preview of what those look like. And then the white Iowa Oaks jerseys that were last worn in 2018 during our 50th anniversary season, we'll auction those off in the concourse during the game. So if you want one of the white ones that from past, we'll have those out and available for bid and for purchase. I may even have some of the white Iowa Oaks pants available because we've got a couple of boxes, and now that we're moving on from the white jerseys, we won't have a need for the white pants. So if you're in need for new softball pants for the summer, we'll probably have some of those available too.
I would lean towards the free beer for Gary and
uniform
things.
It's for you.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. No. I'm saying the more you
have a beer, then
beer,
I bid on everything.
Yeah. You get that one free beer, you bid on stuff.
The interesting one, and I wanted to ask you about this. So Saturday, catch on the field. How many? Does it vary? I mean, 20, 30, 40?
Well, we get hundreds of people typically.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
So right as the gates open, it's a 3:08 first pitch. Gates open up at 2. From 2 until 2:15-ish before the starting pitchers come out to start their routine, and right after visiting batting practice, we open the gate, and the outfield grass is fair game to play catch. We avoid the warning tracks and the mounds, but – We loan you a baseball if you didn't bring one with. You're welcome to bring one of your own. And, 15 minutes is more than enough to make your arm sore.
Well, it wouldn't take 15 minutes.
hold and my phone up. Okay, I'm done.
Yes.
But is it, I mean, are you, is it a mandatory you have to have tennis shoes on, anything like that? Or is you guys aren't really policing it that way, are you?
No cowboy boots. Come on.
No, I mean, if you're, they're comfy. If you're walking out there and, I mean, out in the grass, as long as you're just out there standing and playing catch and okay. You know, if you're out there trying to dig in and figure out your spin rate, you know, we might have a problem.
I've heard that the grounds crew is very, very proud and particular, yes, with their products.
So. Social Saturday.
So when you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, every Saturday we'll do scavenger hunts or giveaways or trivia or different things to have prizes to win and different things. And I think we've got, as part of Outdoors Day, Social Saturday, the DNR is giving away 500 fishing poles. Ew. To kids 13 and under coming in. You get a voucher, and then you get the fishing pole on your way out from their booth inside Gate B.
Smart move.
Very yes. Smart.
Especially if you have adults like us that go, hey, we got a fishing pole.
And they've also got 10 life jackets, really nice life jackets to give away for folks that are going to plan on boating, fishing, and being outdoors. And we're going to have some of those in the Social Saturday giveaway. So play along on social media when you come to the game on Saturday for the chance to win one of those.
Your normal Sunday, kids run bases, food pantry, bike to the ballpark, family fun pack. But then you have Desmonios. How do I?
Los Demonios de Des Moines.
There
it
we
is
go.
The Copa de la Diversión is the minor league baseball program. It translates to the Fun Cup. About 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, minor league baseball unveiled this program. They had done some market research in the then 160 minor league markets. There were 18 million people of Latinx descent that said they were baseball fans that lived in those 180 markets, and only 10% of them ever went to a minor league game in their hometown. So minor league baseball developed this program to adopt a name that tied into your local market and that appealed to the local Latin community. And it came with uniforms and hats, and we try to do live music, and we've got folk dancing groups, and we try to do some unique food offerings. The street tacos that are really popular were unveiled in the first time that we did a Demonios game. And the team was called the Demons in the 40s and the 50s. Before AAA baseball came, we've got a concession stand named after the Demons and all the old names. And so Demonios is Spanish for demon. And it kind of looks like Des Moines when you spell it out in script. And one of the members of that 1959 Des Moines Demons team was a guy by the name of Pat Corrales, who became the first Latin Whoa. Manager in Major League Baseball history for the Philadelphia Phillies. And we vetted that with the Council for Latino Affairs out of the state building and talked with local leaders and told that story, and they liked it. And so we do this a handful of times during the year to celebrate, you know, certainly baseball's popularity in Latin America. And then just like all of our promotions, overlapping what's going on in the game with something else that you're passionate about. And
I love
it's
that.
And it's been a really good tie. And certainly Des Moines a little bit different than Albuquerque or Las Vegas in terms of demographics, in terms of quantity, but we've got a lot of people who care a lot and enjoy coming to the ballpark and being part of that. And I think we've built some new fans, not only for those games, but all of our games to come out. And it's been a lot of fun.
Our trips down to Dallas, sometimes we go with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. We stop in Oklahoma City, another AAA, great stadium.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nights we were there, something just like that.
Yep.
Celebration for that heritage. That, I mean, it was really cool. Food, unbelievable. It was a ton of fun. So we got bike to the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Roundabout number. 100 people?
Oh, depending on the weather, yeah, that bike corral gets filled. We've had
That's
filled.
Awesome
we've probably
too.
Had 250 bikes at a time as probably a max. And yeah, you know, some years the trails have been closed because of flooding or different things that are hiccups for that, you know. But on Sunday, the bike to the ballpark offer is a reserve ticket and a beer for $16 when you go to the bike gate. But it's a $5 so cool. It's a $5 general admission ticket. Any day you go ride your bike to the game and pull up to the bike gate and buy your ticket there. One of the best deals that probably is a somewhat of a secret because you try to list all the other million things that we have going on
right.
all the time and sometimes gets buried at the bottom of the list. But
and there is no bad seat.
Oh, no.
No.
No, no, no bad seat at Principal Park. They're all amazing venue. Seats. And
yeah, general admission, the seat is the same as the reserve seat. You just don't get a row and a number that you have to sit in.
Right.
It's the same physical seat down at the ends of the reserve grandstand. So, yeah, general admission is not like a standing room only. It's a seat. You just don't have a reserved one.
Pat Corrales, a great manager, not a Hall of Fame manager, though. Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, he was a really good man. He's closer to 500, probably. He might even be a little under 500 because he didn't have some good teams. But
yeah, he was in I think he managed in both Cleveland and Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia gave him his first shot. Yeah, it was a different age then too.
He was,
you know, how forgiving your owners were, and
he was a fun dude. Pat Corrales and Billy Martin. Yeah, they could go at it. That'd be pretty cool.
On your Twitter feed, about an hour before game time, you did put a picture of Kyle Hendricks on there that he's in the house. Did he make an appearance? Was he out walking around?
I think he was in the dugout today. I saw him in the dugout when I was out for the anthem and ceremonial first pitches. I don't know if he stayed in there the whole game, but I did see him in the clubhouse going through just maintenance work and getting his work in. So, you know, they always reserve the right to change their mind, but they've sent him to Des Moines and he was there today.
So he physically is in the house.
We expect that he will pitch tomorrow and probably in a limited capacity, certainly because it's his first outing. But he is the last remaining member of the World Series team from 2016. He is the last guy from that World Series roster that's still with the Cubs and just got extended 2 years ago. So he's always been terrific. He has not changed from the first day that I met him 9 years ago to the intermittent times that I've run into him in spring training or in Chicago. This is the first time he's been back on any sort of injury rehab since he got promoted and established himself as a terrific pitcher in the National League and led the league in ERA in 15, I think, leading into the World Series year. So, I'm really interested to see him, and I don't know that he's going to be in midseason form yet, quote unquote, as he's coming back from injury. But I would love to see Kyle Hendricks dialed in with the automatic ball and strike system. If there is a guy who could find the cheat code and manipulate the ABS, he would be the guy
right.
that could find that last millimeter that the computer is viewing as a strike and just leave it there all day and make it really tough.
That is cool.
Because that took effect yesterday at Principal Park,
yes.
correct?
Yeah, yesterday was the first day
technology.
Of automatic
Scott's
balls and strikes.
That was Scott's lead coming in today. He had a guy looked at the umpire and went,
and the umpire was like, I definitely want to talk to Randy about. You know, he's like, what are you talking about? And then this dead stare of, well, wasn't me. And then it's kind of like, well, I'm sorry to yell at you, but I got to yell at somebody. That's what I'm supposed to do. But that goes into the discussion because it doesn't go one day that it's actual balls and strikes are called, and then the next day you can use it as a week on, week off, that the two different formats?
It's half and half. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is automatic balls and strikes. Friday, Saturday, Sunday will be the challenge system. And a three-man umpire crew, three-person umpire crew. There is one female umpire that will come through in July, I think, is her first assignment here. And a three-person umpire crew, each will get one home plate assignment in the challenge system, and each will get a home plate assignment in the ABS system in each series.
Okay, because that my thing, even, I mean, it's just yesterday that this, and, you know, kind of seen some of the interaction, to see how it's, maybe we keep that human factor to it. And leaning more towards the review opposed to the it's just black and white, it's just balls and strikes. I mean,
it's gonna be interesting.
It is gonna be interesting.
That's a tease. We'll come back
I have
something on that as well. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Randy Scott and I will be back right after this break.
A moment can change a lifetime.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. Drive safely home. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scott's in here. Randy Wayhofer's in here.
It's
I am
Wednesday.
Here. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at CNON Sports, at Happy Hour underscore SS, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Randy Wayhofer. Randy's in here with us. He is VP and Assistant General Manager for the Iowa Cubs. Randy, it's always nice to have you in here. Great day for you. You get a little baseball. You get to come in here and sit with us. You got to sit with Murph and Andy today. It's a good day.
Man. You know, it's
we're glad that you are here.
Who's got it better than me?
Nobody. this segment's going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. They got three locations: 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines; 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines; and 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. They'll take care of you with your foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Urgent injury clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations are there. No appointment needed. You can look up wait times online at dmoss.com. Once again, I want to thank DMOS for being a part of our program. Randy is, with all the young talent that's down there, how often does the upper brass from Chicago come down to watch them play? Or they kind of go, if it's closer up there when you guys are traveling, do they go see games there, or they not see as many games because they have people telling them all the time?
It really has not been very frequent. Theo never came to Principal Park. I think Jed Hoyer has been to Principal Park maybe once. Carter Hawkins did come once last year. Jared Banner, the farm director, came a couple of times last year. But they've got so many cameras wired into the ballpark that they can be in their suite in Chicago and watch everything. They can watch batting practice. They can watch early work. They can watch the game. They can see whatever they need to see.
So technology has changed the way
without
of
physically
travel.
Being there. Now, we've got a handful of the roving instructors. We've got Rachel Follin, one of the minor league hitting coordinators that's based out of Arizona. She's here this week. We've got one of the mental skills folks that's here working with guys this week. One of the pitching coordinators is here this week. Doug DeCenzo, the outfield coordinator, will be in next homestand. Mike Mason was here last homestand that works with the pitchers. So the people that are hands-on are through frequently. There's at least one person almost every homestand that's here doing some extra work. But the top of the front office maybe once a year, and usually probably closer to the trade deadline when they're deciding, you know, trying to make decisions on are we buying, selling, how do we feel about including or not including a particular player. Because there's really not – Indianapolis is probably equal. There's really not a place that we go that's any closer to Chicago than here. So, but with technology, that it's, it's not as frequent as it probably was 15 years ago, and Jim Hendry came in more often.
Just like always, when we ask a question and it brings up a couple more, a couple of those aspects right there really high on my list. Number one, that there is a roving female instructor. I think that's huge. I think it is a different viewpoint. No matter what you think, and you can anything, it's amazing the different viewpoint that you can get from someone that wasn't brought up the same way. And I think that's awesome. I think the other is, and I think it's important, it's starting to, you know, ease its way into the business world too. It's the mental aspects of everything. Not that a happy employee is a better employee, but an employee that is fully focused is a better employee, or a better sports athlete, a better baseball player. I think that's so important, and I think it's becoming a way bigger thing than it ever has. Is that true?
Absolutely. It's fully developed departments now for most of the major league clubs, and I think baseball is slightly unique compared to the other sports in the regard that it's the level of failure, even for the best players, is more than, you know, I mean, if you're a running back and a good running back, you know, getting tackled after 4 yards is not a failure. There's small gains and large gains. And, you know, if you're bigger, stronger, faster than the guy across from you, then you win most of the time. But baseball, there's no way to out physical your approach at the plate every day. And just that slightest change in your mechanics physically changes your confidence level and your mental makeup, and there's probably more work that needs to be done because it's an everyday kind of thing too. You don't practice 6 days a week and play for 3 hours on Sunday. It's day games after night games and doubleheaders and rainouts, and how do you sit around for 4 hours and then play when you're expected to play at one and you start at five? How do I prepare and do all those things? And those are real life things. You know, I always use the example. My kids never got sick at 2 o'clock in the afternoon after I had a good night's sleep. It was always 3 o'clock in the morning after we had been out to dinner. The furnace never goes out when it's warm outside. You know, the furnace only goes out when it's 30 below.
Right.
And you got to react in real time. And baseball mixes in some of those kinds of things. And one of the reasons I've always kind of viewed learning life lessons through that baseball prism, because it does mirror some of the things that we face in our jobs every day, more than basketball and football and other sports, at least to me.
Two of the hardest things I think to do, one, because it's moving at you, is hitting a baseball. Number two is hitting a ball that's on the ground, a little white ball hitting a golf ball. I mean, if you don't practice it and you don't understand it and you can't mentally wrap your head around failing 70% of the time and shooting 120 instead of somebody else shooting 65,
right,
it's either going to break you or you are going to enhance yourself so much. And I think that's why they're still so, even though they're harder, because it's really hard to play baseball with two people. And, you know, I think golf is that way, but you just have those
but
two
things. But it goes down that path through. You have to have positive –
absolutely.
Positive outcome, therefore you have repetition of that positive outcome. So, I mean, it's every day is a crossroads of, I'm not having a good day, I don't want to keep going down that hole type of thing. And one other thing is, as Randy has kind of alluded to in our conversation before, it's the way you treat a 19, 20, and 21-year-old is different than the way you used to treat the guys that are now in their 30s, because what got a reaction back then is different than the way, because generationally, it seems that what we were using as tools to coach and lead have changed.
For certain. I think we have made great strides in understanding why it's important to treat each other better than we used to. When we called each other names in the backyard and teased and prodded and poked, and you found a way to overcome that. And some people can be really detrimentally affected for the rest of their life by some of that many of us thought was just kind of the way it always went. But on the same side, then, as we've gotten better at that, we haven't gotten as good at giving people coping mechanisms, because the world isn't perfect and everybody doesn't buy into the respectful treatment of everybody else. And often some of those things come from a place of the instigator's insecurity, even more than the insecurity person that's being targeted. And it's a very complicated world that human beings make up because of all the nuances of all of our different personalities. And most of these professional baseball players were the best player that anybody had ever seen in their small circle of where they came from. And most of them are dealing with the failure part of the game for the first time in their career. And that's really what minor league baseball is ultimately for. It's who does the game humble and then they find a way through on the other side, and who does the game humble and they decide, this isn't as fun as it used to be, I'll go do something else.
Well, growing up in the 70s, everything was about you can't fail. Now it's, if you fail, learn from it, and build your building block. And boy, they didn't. Yeah, I agree with
that.
They didn't do that.
Interesting for the way Randy just said that, because there's guys walking into a room where they have been the best forever.
Yep.
Been told they were best, be reacted to the best, performed the best, and walk into a room to know that there's a half dozen guys that are better than you has to be surreal.
Well, but I also think that they've been told they're so good for so long that they don't think that there's a half a dozen guys better than them.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we see in sports, in all sports, not just baseball, is there is no fear from the rookie. There is the first year player has been told he's so good for so long and has been believes that narrative about him for so long, or her for so long, that there is no intimidation. Nobody walks, you know, the guys that walk in, Javi Baez has never walked into a locker room and said, oh my goodness, look at these guys. He's walked into every locker room in his life and said, hey, get a load of me. and that's just, you know, and that was not allowed and not favored in past generations, probably not all that long ago.
And he's struggling a little bit now.
Right. Well, it's funny. We just were watching, flip through some stuff, and a statement was made by the Arch Manning down in Texas that, and it's kind of their family trying to show that there's some humility with the Manning family, is Arch is not taking any NIL money until he is a starter. And then social media, the tweets and responses came in. Yeah, it's easy to say when your family's worth $500 million. Yeah. But still, I do like that they're trying to make a look, we're going to have him humble. He's just not going to be, because of the name, he gets a truckload of money on this. We're trying to set a precedence of he's got to earn it.
So, Randy, I wanted to ask you a couple things about Major League Baseball, just because I had this in my head today, and I looked it up. So, Tampa Bay and Baltimore right now in the American League in the East are on top of the standings, and they have a payroll of $73 million and $64 million. The Cleveland Guardians are in second, even though they're under 500 in the Central. It's not a very good division. The Pittsburgh Pirates right now, very surprisingly, $76 million payroll and in the lead in that division there. Is it a bigger issue for baseball that the New York Mets are spending $346 million or that the Oakland A's are spending $47 million to you?
I've always felt that the idea that you just need to spend money to win is false, that you need to buy the proper players and have the proper plan, and if the right guy demands the money, then spend it. And then you got to be able to walk away from the guy who's asking more than is worth, and you can't possibly put together, you know, something that goes against him. I think it's a bigger problem for the game that the A's are spending so little than the Mets failing by spending so much, because the market can correct the Mets. There's no incentive for the A's currently to do better.
Right.
I actually had a similar conversation recently and kind of how I look at things. When the Chicago Cubs were still owned by the Tribune Company, they were an X line on the balance sheet, and it was, you could write whatever the number, the round, I'm going to use just a generic example. I have no idea what the numbers were, but the Cubs were worth $10 million in profit to the Tribune Company every year. And the discussion around the board table was, we could spend more on players, but based on our attendance and based on our merchandise sales and based on our TV deal, what if I spent another $20 million, would I make more than $2 million more? And you know, numbers never added up. So there was no incentive to do that. And then in 1998, they made the playoffs, the play-in game with the Giants, and then lost in the first round to the Braves. And there were 40,000 people on Waveland and Sheffield and 38,000 people inside Wrigley Field. And somebody went, if we won, we could make more money. We didn't think people would behave this way. And it was shortly after that Alfonso Soriano was signed, the Tribune Company moved on. They found the incentive to find a way to be a better team, to be more competitive, because there was more profit to be made from that. And I think Oakland and Tampa Bay are really good examples, because their stadium situations are so terrible that they have to be having those same kinds of conversations that says, we could increase our payroll and we could win. And Tampa Bay has said, we have won without increasing our payroll, and have made the playoffs semi-regularly here lately, and still we don't move the meter in attendance. So what is their incentive to change the structure of what they're doing? And it's not there. And then you have to examine the market. And you don't blame the players. You don't blame the ownership. I think they're all making logical decisions. They just don't feel right in the spirit of competition the way we observe it as fans. And maybe I'm oversimplifying to a certain degree, but I think those are the kinds of conversations and contemplations that people have that say, you know, just because I have the money to do something, you know, if I got money to burn in my pocket, I could invest in a restaurant. But if I don't think it's in a good location and I don't have a good chef and I don't have, then why would, you know, just to say that I did it, you know, or why would I pay guy Fieri to be my chef and then buy a hole in the wall out in the country that nobody could get to. I mean, it's all got to work together. And I think these markets are being challenged where they're not being incented to change the way they do business.
And that last segment, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but I always said this too, that Moneyball, I think Moneyball is one of the greatest movies of all time. Almost 90% fake, not fake, but the reason that they were so good is they had four young pitchers that pitched complete games and won a lot of games for them. Not the fact that they had a really low payroll, but right. It's interesting how baseball can be. And we'll touch on that when we come back, because I was kind of shocked at what the median is for salaries. I had no idea it was as high as it was, and how I'm going to have you guess, Scott and Randy, to see if you can guess what the middle is. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One segment left with Randy.
Talk radio, Steen on sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Last segment of this Thursday, Wednesday, whatever day it is. It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
I got the show down. Now I got to get the date down. Wow. It's been a week. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour _SS, at Scott Brower _13, and at Randy Wehofer. Randy is in here with us today. He is the VP, Assistant General Manager of the Iowa Cubs. We're always excited to have him in. We're in here with us. We have really great conversations when we're not on the air too. So we get double Randy. You only get, really good Randy. We get double really good Randy.
He's always
good. You got the next read, my friend.
All right, we're gonna thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Palmer Group, Demos, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, and I'm gonna finish with Heritage Building Maintenance. Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa. Heritage's future focus and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve the clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, provide peace of mind in protecting the future of being a certified partner in science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com and check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services.
Okay, I'm going to ask both you guys to try to take a guess on what the median league average is for salaries, and I'll give you a little hint. Low is $47,625,000, and high is $346,462,000.
A yearly salary?
Yes, for the team. Yeah, not a player.
Okay, gotcha.
Yearly for the team.
My guess is going to be 140 million.
I was going to say 175 to 180.
Okay, it is 159,827.
Wow.
Which is still, is that mind-boggling to you that it's that high? The median? I mean, I get that you had like the Yankees and teams like that spend a lot. But now you have, there's 15 teams that spend over $195 million.
None of those checks bounce.
No, they do not.
So, I've always kind of found a little bit comical how worried we are about how rich people spend their money.
Yeah. It's uncontrollably, which is possible.
The game, all of sports are better when owners spend based on their ego and trying to win, as opposed to running really good businesses the way they built their wealth in order to afford a team in the first place. The George Steinbrenner era of just unrealistic expectations is a lot more entertaining of a soap opera to follow than it is good fiscal responsibility and reading board minutes. So all of that is just reflective of the media rights. Baseball is so different than the NFL and the NBA. The money that baseball makes off of their regional television and radio broadcasts and they get big money from ESPN and Fox and the national deals. There's no real money being made at the local or regional level in the NFL.
Right.
So all of that money has to come from those national platforms, and why we don't accept that they are just different and both really successful models, as opposed to, God, the national deal is the only deal worth having. It seems to be the mindset. It seems to be there's this business envy of the NFL for the empire that they've built, but it's 3 hours once a week that you're committing to your team. It's
right.
Not 2.5 hours every day. And then you don't follow the other teams the same way in baseball as you do because they're all playing at the same time most of the time. It's really hard to watch three games at once. I can watch the 1 o'clock game and the 4 o'clock game and the Monday night game, and I can be generally aware of eight teams in any given week and still have invested a third of the time that I would in watching the team that you really care about in baseball.
See, that's the interesting thing. In the NFL, the one negative the NFL has, and they've been trying to overcome it, but you can't because of the physicality of it, is, you know, when we were growing up, you got Sunday football games, and they kind of threw in a Saturday game every once in a while, and then Monday night football came.
Right, Monday night football.
And then, then you got kind of Thursday. So they started doing that, but it's hard to do because of the physicality and the reduced schedule. And I think that's the thing that we forget. I forget about what you just said. It's 162 games, and you get 81 of them on a network that pays you a lot of money no matter what.
And if you buy the right package, you get all 162.
Right.
I mean, we're stubborn about what we're investing in.
Yes.
our subscriptions or our streaming or our cable or satellite or whatever the case may be. But blackout rules don't apply if you've got Marquee Sports Network
exactly.
To the Cubs.
Yeah, that's what we
and see. We're going through that right now because I've been a DirecTV guy for over 10 years
because of
the NFL package. Have the multi-TV set up in the basement. Now it's okay. I got to go to YouTube TV. I don't. Because you can get it a la carte. It's better if you have YouTube TV as a script. But then I'm going through. I love my Marquee because I love looking where it's on my phone. It's on my Apple TV. It's on wherever because I am a DirecTV subscriber. Therefore, I get Marquee. If I go to YouTube TV, I don't get Marquee anymore. So now I got to figure out, okay, what do I want to do this so I can get that?
And but the person that means the most to is Nana, and she's listening right now.
I know,
you
Nana.
Have to
we'll figure
it out.
We'll figure it out. go back to Antenna TV, Nana.
Yeah.
But that's just, the idea that you can get away cheap and get everything you want is an illusion.
Right.
As a consumer. So you just have to really identify your priorities. And if your priorities are X, then get the thing that gives you X as often as you can. And, I think we just... we hate change as people, and we hate the idea that somebody's manipulated us into spending more than we need to or want to. So, if you care most about Game of Thrones, then you better have HBO Max. If you care most about the Chicago Cubs, then you better have some MediaCom or DirecTV that offers you Marquee Sports Network, and then you don't have to deal with all the rest of the nonsense.
You know what I need in my life? I need a Randy Weyhofer app that I can say, Randy, this is an idea I have or a question. And all he does is shake his head going, yeah, no.
No. That's like,
I mean, I don't have any answers.
Yes, you have great answers. Are you kidding me?
I just think I've been fortunate enough to be exposed to enough things in this circle that I can give you different context from what the conversation usually is. And we're more likely to be outraged or bragging or whatever the case may be, looking for those things. And I just try not to swing that pendulum so far to either direction. And that's kind of a contrary opinion.
It still makes for good sports radio, right. Folks. Understand that the way we think and do things, we're not here to shock you. We're not here to throw an opinion out that we don't.
You do that every once in a while, which is...
Just to you, I do that.
Again, these are on, okay?
I know.
There you go.
But there, yeah. But that's the... It's the thing that I enjoy most about having Randy in here is that, we need... We don't understand. We understand it as... We're looking at sports as just a big circle, and we're taking pieces of pie. And you forget. You forget that there's 162 games. That means there's a lot of baseball on TV. The TV contracts are pretty big.
Right.
So they're not, we kind of think, well, some of these teams are really hurting. That just means, just in a long view, the Oakland Athletic ownership are pocketing a lot of money.
Yeah, particularly with revenue sharing. And yeah, they're not incented to, and that's why the union fights for a floor more than, you know, they'll take, you know, the cap is one thing, but the floor is
the
even
floor
more
matters
important.
More. I get that now. I understand.
You
right?
know, when the Angels signed Albert Pujols at the winter meetings back in whatever year that was, the very next day they announced a new deal with Fox Sports LA that more than covered the cost of Pujols' contract. They did not have to sell a single ticket to afford that without changing any of the business model, that his ability to chase the home run record leveraged their ability to get a big local media rights contract, and he certainly was going to sell tickets and concessions and merchandise and jerseys and all the things that it was going to do. But we don't layer the conversation because it's too complicated and to just kind of do casually, you know, but those are all factors. And if I can bring anything to the table, I think I can also lay out the other factors that go into that decision where you go, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that part maybe, and maybe think about it a little bit differently. I don't want to change your mind, but just take all the factors into why we got where we did.
Fastest hour in sports radio is when we have Randy on Wednesday.
Always a good time.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in here. We'll see you next Wednesday, hopefully, as always. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to Scott and I. It's we love doing this. We'll be in here tomorrow. Have a great night, and we will see you then.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700.